Well, I know Boise's Cascade, where the South Block is, they left the first floor, right? But they use that for the underground parking. That used to be the bottom floor.
Yeah, well, there used to be, you know, the slab that went over the creek.
Uh-huh, that we just removed like a couple years ago.
Yeah, that was what was really weird, is to think that you couldn't even see it.
Yeah.
And that slab.
Yeah, that is interesting, isn't it?
Very interesting. So we'll start our subcommittee meeting on Wednesday, August 5th. Can't believe it's August. And Linda Nishioka is here, and Tyson Bisa is here. Vincenzo has a medical issue.
Oh, no.
He's back with his parents, hoping to get over that, so he won't be joining us.
Okay.
I don't know if he'll be able to come to the meetings either for a while, so.
Oh, all right.
Hope he's okay. So I tried to organize kind of what we concluded at our last meeting. And then this meeting, we were going to kind of take a look at the zoning. So, okay.
Yeah.
You already know all about it.
Well, yeah. Oh, yeah.
So we kind of talked last time, and actually, Tyson, since this is kind of your wheelhouse, I would love it if you want to take the lead and kind of talk to Linda and I about, from an appraiser's point of view, the central business district zoning, any experience that you've had as being part of a team, a development team, as to kind of the things that rise to the top that, because one of the things you'll notice, Linda, is that, and I know you know this from experience, that when you get to the last page, page 17, it's not like you don't have, if you're a developer, a whole lot of other requirements and standards that you have to look at. And then, of course, this doesn't even mention historic, but that's a whole nother, at least we don't have that.
Yeah.
But that would be a whole nother process that you have to go through. But basically what this does is it tells you, you know, P, you can do it, you know, N, you can't do it. Some special conditions, that's what the little
C means, yeah.
Little okay. Thingies. Yeah, it says right here, permitted is P, special is S,
okay.
Conditional is C, and prohibited is N.
Yeah.
So
yeah, I mean, they're going to encourage you to do, I mean, you have a ton of different options. And most of the time when we appraise properties, the building's already built. So we just look and say, is it permitted? And most of the time it is, because it's existing.
Built.
Yeah, I mean, it's implicit. And you are building something new. And I assume it's zone CB, your building is, or not, I mean, yeah, the Nishioka building is, so. But, I mean.
CB means mixed use, is that right?
CB just stands for Central Business District.
Yeah, I'm sure it is already.
It encourages.
You have to have that before you can get your permits, correct?
Yeah.
Building permits, you have to have the zoning all.
Well, the zoning is there.
Yes.
It's
already there.
It's already there, and your property is located
within
yes. The Central Vista Business District. The reason why I chose this is because that particular building falls within the CBD
okay.
2. Actually, if you look
but
at
not historic.
Not
no.
Historic. But if you look
Firestone,
at the,
I think is like the
yeah, if you look at the zoning map, it's more than just downtown, the Central Business
yes,
District.
Yes, yes.
It wobbles up north, and there's little pockets of different zoning, but a majority of going north is also
okay.
The Central Business District. And then you may recall we had Rebecca came to DAB because one of the projects she was working on was the North Downtown
mm-hmm.
zoning project, working with Eunice Kim in community development and with a consultant to take a look at, do we have the right zoning there? Because I think in some locations there was 9 different zones and overlays that the, that a property owner would have to go through.
Oh, wow.
And adhere to in order to develop, and we really believe that the northern part of Riverfront is the future, because we're pretty much built out down here. So we're very interested.
Yeah, you probably need to have some of those zones readjusted, yeah.
Of north downtown, which is why we were engaging the consultant and then working with CD to see if there's any changes that we need to make in the zoning to make it easier.
Yeah.
For a developer or a property owner to maximize the benefit of their property. So, you know, more of a zoning thing, but as EAB members, that's something that.
Yeah, no, it's important for us.
We're multitasking, we're landscaping, and we're looking at this, and we're looking at homelessness issues, and trying to keep our eye on the ball going north to see what we need to do to help.
And when you say north, it's primarily like Front Street and then north along what commercial is, are those the areas that you're talking about?
Well, if you look at our strategic plan, when they put that together, they created these different
little pockets.
And then within those pockets, they said what they thought the board, the downtown advisory board should do.
Okay.
So when you look at north, you have the north waterfront area,
yeah.
which would be like Union along front going okay. north up to Mill Creek. And then you have the mid zone where like, it's just north downtown where the police facility
yes.
is,
uh-huh.
where all the
UGM's being
all, where UGM
right, right.
is over to High,
okay.
basically.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So, and then there's a little
where
hill area,
are.
Kind of where Salem Center is. That
yes.
was its own little
okay.
Kind of retail mall area. And then you had the historic district in downtown. So they kind of divvied it up, created different colors for those areas, and then they had projects within those particular areas. North Waterfront was the one that they really had out in the future because of the railroad track
yes.
Falling into
that is
the
really,
street. And because we don't control that, that's a railroad thing, the cost associated with something like that and the infrastructure there is different. So they kind of put that on the back burner.
Yeah.
Had a focus in the middle area. And one of the things that they said was, you have zoning challenges there. One of the projects that they said to do was a north downtown study. And so zoning study, so that's
what
we're doing.
Okay,
exactly.
All right.
Exactly.
Okay, well, thanks for the.
One thing, just on the topic of zoning, I'm pretty sure our site is also in the general office retail overlay.
Yeah,
and
like I said, there's so many other things.
Yeah, and I mean, just I know from experience, because I'm appraising something right in this neck of the woods, and I think there's a lot more review guidelines and standards that go along with that than more so that than what's just in the CB zone. So that'd probably be something else to consider that a developer would have to look into. And I don't think they're as strict as the historic downtown, but there's still, everything is like, has to be reviewed, pretty much. So,
yeah, everything.
That'd be something else to consider.
Okay.
But yeah, I don't know what else you want me to touch on the CB zone. Because, like I said, it's pretty flexible. And I know one of the questions that you had for our meeting was whether we should say it has to have housing retail or if we should just leave it open. And I think, like Linda said this last meeting, just leave it vague and see what kind of proposals come in.
Well, I just feel that is more available to developers in the sense at least it would seem to me that they would have more freedom in trying to work with the space and what they felt could go there and be viable.
Yeah.
You know, because you're not going to want to build it unless you feel like people will be there.
The market will drive.
I was going to say last
the
meeting,
market
you
will drive
that,
what it is.
To provide you this article that I've talked about.
Oh, yeah, about
right. And I think like the image, I mean, yeah, the article goes into more detail about this German grocery store's push, but I think like a building like that where it's a first floor that doesn't have a lot of small retail space, you know, I think we have some vacancies in downtown where we said, you know, those are gonna get sucked up if the, with the much lower rent, but if we had something like this that isn't 40,000 square foot big box, but 10 to 15 that could set the stage, and then they would have the freedom to do whatever they want, you know, on the upper floors. We could recommend it and say it's not, like not demanded, but say maybe this is something that we would push for. Just a thought.
Well, again, that would come down to how we create the evaluation criteria. So in our kind of overview of what we're looking for, we say we want a mix of uses, and that one of the priorities for us would be housing, and we structure it in a way that instead of getting, you know, 10 points for a mix of uses, if you add, you know, the grocery store element to it, maybe you could get more points to it. So you're not really saying you couldn't give us something that doesn't include a grocery store because you don't think that that's viable, but maybe there's a way to give additional consideration. If all things are equal, this one's not equal because it's proposing to do a grocery store, then it's how we choose
how
to structure
how you rank it, yeah.
The value of what's being proposed. And again, that goes to how much are they asking of us too? Because, you know,
the amount that they're asking
because I think there's a difference between we say we have this property and we want it to be redeveloped, but we don't say what you have to
do with it,
what you have to do with it, and we don't say what you have to pay for it. We do say that we have these financial incentives, but it doesn't mean that somebody couldn't say, hey, you know, could you reduce the SDC cost? Sure, we could run up the flagpole. Would you sell it for $1? You know, would you change, you know, the density, or who knows what the parking requirements? So it'd be better, in my opinion, it would be better to not give away the store, but to have the wording be one of such that all things are considered.
Yeah.
That you think you would, that you, all the tools or all the incentives or financial incentives that you have identified that you would need, you can certainly ask for them. We would address those then when we went to look at it. Versus saying, well, you know, you could ask for SDC waivers, I don't know if you'll get them, but you could ask for that, you could ask to buy it for $1, you could ask for this, you could ask for this. You actually can put whatever you want on the table and somebody will take a look at it and get back to you. I really don't...
You don't want to leave it that open.
Well, I think it's just a matter of finding the appropriate wording in how we structure it to say, you open, you know, open to, you know, proposers, you know, identifying those areas within the city, for example, you know, infrastructure cost or whatever that they would like the city to consider helping them with or contributing. And then we can look at it that way. And, you know, for more information on some things, you know, here's our financials, we have a toolbox and we have a tax exemption for housing units. I mean, there's some things that we have defined programs and parameters. There's other things that would require another department or a director or whatever their process is to determine it. What do you guys think about?
I think that if you could list some of the ones that you feel that they would definitely be interested in, like you have just given us. And I would word it potential resources or opportunities, something to that effect of like these, and then give a short list. And then if there's any verbiage that you could add that say, if there's others that you'd like us to consider, but at the same time, you don't want to leave it so open-ended that it becomes arduous to the city to try to run through. It's like, we want to offer support, but not make it so open that it becomes a headache for everybody else, I guess.
Well, and then the other thing is we talked about last time, is that something that makes a difference? So, okay, so let's say somebody's gonna come in and they're going to do a $50 million project, and they need the site for a buck, and they need SDC waivers, and they need a tax exemption, and they need the grant, and they need, I don't know.
Yeah, like how many can they ask for?
The list goes on. Okay, so somebody comes in with a $20 million project, and they're only asking for the price to be reduced based on the issues with the site. It's, you know, it's got Putney's home right there, so you don't have the full thing. It's, you know, it's on a bridge, you know, mm-hmm. it's, you know, it's gonna be a challenge because of, you know, limited who
access,
knows what.
Yeah.
So you write it down, you write down the value of it based on those things that you can get your arms around. Plus it's an opportunity for redevelopment. So they only ask for some price concessions because of the challenges they see, and they want to use the grant program.
Mm-hmm.
So does that matter? I get $50 million project,
but you're
and, I'm giving away the store.
Yeah.
And I get a $20 million project, and they're gonna pay me more for the property, and they're only asking for one thing. Does that make a difference? We kind of talked about, is it a plus or a minus if somebody asks us for financial incentives, because it's about leveraging for us.
Yes.
But at the same time, if it's something huge, and in order to get a $50 million project, you have to give away the store, mm-hmm. but it's not giving away the store, it's whatever. Does that matter? Does again, we don't have a $50 million project down here to know what the challenges would be to make that financially feasible.
Yeah.
But, you know, is that something that matters?
Does the city have access to an actuary or somebody that could kind of run scenarios of where the limitations of resources for somebody, the things that could be given away, and then what the value of the property would be against that? Is there anyone that could run some of those algorithms to kind of see where, to give you and us guidance on what it would be that if it's a $20 million project, we can provide?
The tax income and revenue that's generated, yes. Certainly, taking a site that's generating $20,000
mm-hmm.
in taxes a year, and you build something at $20 million, I know Renee could probably figure out how much in tax increment we would get from going from $20,000 to $350,000 over a certain period of time,
mm-hmm.
yes.
So
I'm sure she could do that. The gotcha is when you have a property that, let's say, does the tax exemption. So
mm-hmm.
to
yes.
make it financially feasible after it's up and running, because of the operating costs, now you're talking 10 years.
10 years, yeah.
Where instead of paying the $300,000, you know, you have an exemption, so now you're talking a $3 million, another benefit to that property of $3 million, then it starts getting more
tricky,
more complicated, because usually what they do, Linda, on something like that is they'll do a cost-benefit analysis.
Yes.
When a developer was looking at building housing on top of Marion Parkade, we engaged a consultant to do a cost-benefit analysis.
Yeah, that's really what I'm asking for.
But what they did is they take everything into consideration. The value of the jobs during construction, the value that they think a person living in one of those units will bring into the economy.
They look at everything.
A lot of things. It'd be hard, because we don't know what's going there, to do a cost-benefit analysis, but to look at some assumptions on, depending on what we provided, what the impact might be on tax increment.
I think if we could find that out.
I could talk to Renee about doing that. And a lot of times, like for things like SDCs, people aren't asking for them to be waived. They're just asking for a loan or a way to finance it differently than through kind of conventional financing. If you use federal funds, SDCs are waived. So it's always interesting, if you use one of the federal programs, it's a real benefit because it's waived on housing. But with that comes, you know, 20 years plus of monitoring, and it's different.
So there's a lot of
requirements
behind it.
Well, yeah, you have to be somebody that wants to be in ownership of something a very long period of time and deal with the challenges of the...
So that's going to be a corporation, not a small individual.
Usually a nonprofit. And then again, if it's a nonprofit, it's taking it off the tax rolls.
Yeah.
I think back to your question, like if someone came in with a $50 million project proposal, like what's their track record? I think would be something I would want to consider before I just give them the site for free, basically. I would think I would try and sell the site for market value or close to it and take the $20 million project. But there's so many unknowns.
So for my comment about 20 versus 50, the assumption is they're highly qualified.
Okay.
And then that goes back to that question we talked about last week. Do we want to do something where our first RFP is to qualify you before you then give us a proposal? So basically we say, hey, we have this property, but we only want to deal with people that meet what your qualifications are. If you've never done a $50 million project, please don't say that you are going to do a $50 million project with us. You need to be somebody that has done more than $50 million, in fact, would be my preference, track record doing a project similar to what you've done in the past. If you've only done high-rise office buildings and now you want to do, you know, housing, there's not really a good fit. I mean, maybe, but we don't want you to cut your teeth on your first apartment on us.
Yeah.
So, you know, that could be something that flushes out that right up front. So we've already narrowed down who might submit a project, because we pre-qualified only these five people out of the 20 are the ones that we want to see proposals from, because you can do it. You have a high feasibility of experience and you have a great team and you do it. That's more work, obviously, because you're doing, but you can ask for the same things in a regular one too.
Yeah.
So in the regular RFP, you say, tell us all about your project, and we also want to know what your experience is, who would be your team, how many similar type size projects you've done before, do you have references, resumes on all your team members, so you can do it in the one
together.
Thing. Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
So you look at all of that when you're looking at who you would want over somebody else. But for my 20 and 50, my assumption was they were good people. It was just a matter of, does the size of the project
make a difference. Influence the.
You know, so if somebody comes in and says, well, I would like for you to, you know, partition the property and I want the corner. So I'm the grocery store. I am not in the market or office.
I don't want to have the apartments.
Housing, that's not our thing. We just want, but we have to own ours. So we just want 15,000 square foot piece, you know, and now I'm stuck with, you know.
The rest of it.
The rest of it. Is that worth it to get the grocery to try to get somebody else to pick up the sliver?
You're thinking like maximally productive use, I don't think that would fit.
Yeah, well, there you go.
And when you're looking at, when you're, and.
I think that's part of it. Are we interested in breaking it up for different things that come in or insisting that a person do the entire thing?
Yeah, I just threw it out there at the last meeting. But another thing on here is I think the project definitely has to pay property taxes.
That's something that I keep struggling with, even though.
Because when you think of tax revenue
for
a downtown.
Well, it just feels like we continue to provide tax defer so much, and now with this other navigation center coming in, probably never having any tax revenue, you know, it's just like, well, okay, so then the few that are left are the ones really paying the brunt of the taxes to support all, and so it gets a little frustrating. So it is one that I keep kind of coming back to thinking, well, how long should that deferral be, or should it be some calculated some other way? I don't know. That it is. It's just, especially being on this committee now, just like, wow, I hear people complain all the time, and I think, do you realize what they're trying to do with the limited funds that are available?
Well, to me, there's two things. There is the project cost, and sources and uses, and, you know, it's going to cost me, you know, $18 million, and I've gone and gotten everything I could, and I have a $500,000.
Still can't.
I have a $500,000 gap. Could I come in for a grant for $500,000?
Yeah.
Great. Now I'm looking at my pro forma.
Yeah.
And the rents today are low. And you know, you wanted this mix of uses, you want housing, but housing is the one that I know I can fill it up, but the rents are not really supporting my debt. And, you know, you're making me have a mix of uses, and I don't even want that retail office. Okay, and if I put a grocery store in, they don't pay anything. You know that. Grocery stores pay very little in rent. They don't. Sometimes.
Well, I know that their profit margin is generally pretty
small. Sometimes you can negotiate. If they make a certain threshold, you can do a percentage of their sales. But in general, they look at themselves as, we bring so much value. To your project, we bring all these people to your project to support everybody else that you have in your project. We take all this square footage. You should give us this great rental rate. So then you come down to now, I can't pay everything.
Yep.
And so now, either we go.
Give
back,
me
either,
something else.
Well, either and you know, either you go back to the beginning and say, hey, sources and uses with project costs, I need more from you to reduce the debt that I have. Or you go run the operating and they say, hey, you know, if we get rid of the $300,000 a year in property taxes, that will give us a chance to get stable. The rents will go up over 10 years. We'll have this kumbaya moment where we're finally making a return that makes it worth, because that's the other thing, people need.
And it does seem to be about 10 years.
People need to make a return. I mean, developers need to be incented to do these things. So I look at one as either you give them more money up front and you reduce the debt that they have, or you look over at the operating piece.
Uh-huh.
I can tell you that if I was gonna run numbers on a property that received a 10-year tax exemption, mm-hmm. which means for 10 years we don't get that tax increment, if I look at year 11 going into the future, it would always be a great thing to do. It would
okay.
always give us
then
a
that's,
lot
that's
more.
That's really good to hear.
A lot more at the end of the day.
I'm seeing it as of now, not necessarily for
yeah, no,
sure.
no. And,
yeah, that's,
and that's why you have to look at, you know, at year 11.
And COSA has made it quite clear that if they had not received the grant or the tax deferment,
yeah, it's
the numbers, would they wouldn't have done it.
And again, without the tax incentive to, the tax exemption incentive, the rents just,
the cost
it, does,
of,
it just doesn't,
yeah, the cost
it
of
doesn't
construction,
make sense.
And for me, you know, that's why I waited for so many years and kept coming back to you and Kristen and just like, I don't know what to do, because it became so fundamentally clear. I had to have higher than four stories and high rent, and I couldn't park anybody because I couldn't figure out how to put them on that property, or else I lose money for 20 years, even with the advantages that were potentially, and it was just like, why would I do that? And so it's pretty clear that you do have to start figuring out a way to compensate the cost of construction, and it becomes going up and up and up, getting higher so that you have more available rental space without taking more space.
Well, if they would have had to have added in the cost of parking,
oh my God,
you would not have been able to do
we
it.
We would not.
Because that's the other very difficult thing now that projects have.
And that's what I was, one of the questions I was gonna ask about over here. It's quite a large lot, but if you're a grocery store, or even if it's a small market, the majority may be foot traffic. But I could easily see if it was drawing people from the west side to come over on the bridge and then drop into a parking lot. If for people that are living in the area, driving from work in the south side and heading up north, they would just make a curve and get parked, grab the groceries, and then on they would go. So, you know, I'm just wondering what the space capacity is and what a grocery store might need for parking. You know, when I kept calling for Trader Joe's to come, years ago, they kept saying, we don't see what, you know, first off, they didn't see enough rooftops and income level. And then it was like, well, we need to find a space that has enough parking. And so it was, I thought it was really interesting because they have specific numbers.
Well, grocery stores just have a formula.
Yeah, they do.
And they apply it to every location that comes in front of them. They have to have so much in population within a 3 to 5 mile radius.
Yep.
You have to be on the right side of the street for when you're going home type of traffic, because where South Block is, I was fortunate enough, because before they did what they did, they really thought that would be a great location for a grocery store.
Little market, I heard, yes.
For a grocery store. And so they hired a consultant to look at that, because obviously that would have been a way to jumpstart, give them that tenant so they could go out and get financing. And so I got to sit in on the summary of the consultant's report. And again, it's the same thing from back in my old days when I did those kind of projects. The traffic wasn't going the right way. They didn't see the 3 to 5 mile population that they needed. And it was fascinating because it's not really negotiable. Which is one of the reasons why you usually see a pharmacy, you know, next to a grocery store. Back in the day, that's
mm-hmm.
what you always had. You had a pharmacy
mm-hmm.
next to the grocery store because they're both looking at similar types of demographic
mm-hmm.
information. And then what happened was the grocery stores just got smart and they started putting them within them.
Yes.
The Fred Meyer model,
yep.
You know, one-stop shopping. Where then, you know, Rite Aids were standing kind of more alone,
mm-hmm.
but in general, they work best because you just want to get it all done unless there's a price point differential. You know, where Rite Aid is always the location for the grocery store. High visibility,
you know what,
both sides
really
of the
parking.
Street,
yeah.
All the parking,
this
that one comes up over and over and over
yeah,
again,
yeah.
And when Taylor was the mayor, her and I met with Rite Aid, and we met with Trader Joe's, I can't tell you how many times.
Oh, yeah.
We go to different things, and that's the site that they wanted.
Oh, was it?
Everybody wants that site, so that's why we're meeting with Rite, well, it wasn't Rite Aid, it was what, Payless? What was it before Rite Aid? It wasn't always Rite Aid, it was called something else.
I'm too young to remember.
You're too young.
I don't remember.
Oh, no, it wasn't Rite Aid. Rite Aid took over, I want to say Payless, something pharmacy.
May have been Payless.
And that's who we met with, but Rite Aid, or they took that over for Payless or whatever.
That would be the better spot.
They, you know, they basically
Yeah.
own that property by the terms of their lease.
Okay.
And that's what we found out every time we met with them. Their lease is, has so many extensions. First right of refusal, I mean, they own it. So the owner of that site really can't do anything because it would be so cost prohibitive to try to get, and we were even like, hey, we'll put them in, we'll put them into the new one.
Mm-hmm.
We'll put them into a new grocery, you know, whatever. They have not the easiest people to work with. So, let's go back to my list.
So let's just, let's ask about this then. Do you feel that this site would be an acceptable grocery site? Do you think a market industry would consider that, or is there too many of what you've seen in the past sort of blockers that would maybe not say, no, that's not going to work for us because of its location or the
one-way street.
Yeah, traffic flow or any of that. Do you feel that this could be potentially a grocery store, or based on what your history of learning has been, that it wouldn't be?
Well, what I'll do, we're
getting off track, but
well, I
but
did,
I do think
did,
that that'll help
I
us
did
know.
Hire somebody a couple years back to do a grocery store analysis.
Mm-hmm.
To determine where would be the best location for one, and we identified that.
You did.
Wanted to
okay.
know if that was a good site.
I did. Okay.
Yeah, and what type of grocery store would be the best kind? You know, the study like Walmart. You know, that's not really what we're looking for because there are small Walmarts. We know that there are those neighborhood Walmarts. Maybe Walmart would go in there. I don't know. Because our demographics,
mm-hmm.
our income levels,
yep,
they're not Trader Joe's right here. So, you know, they were, and of course, Safeway is, you know, not that far away. But yeah, I'd be happy to share with you. And of course, that side over there,
yep.
you know, the more perfect side. But yeah, I can share with you who they thought would be a grocery store that would be a best fit here based on all of those little factors that they have. Now I think I asked them about Green Zebra. I did not ask them about Basics Market because I didn't know about them at the time.
I don't know about them.
And of course I didn't know about this one. So I could always go back and because that's what they do. Their grocery store, you know, experts. But yeah, because it just kept coming up whenever we had focus group meetings and stuff. We want a grocery store. Okay.
Yeah.
So we said, you know, let's throw a little bit of money at somebody to say,
mm-hmm.
do we have a location that would be better for a grocery store than not? And because we knew that one
mm-hmm.
might become available, they're like, oh.
What about that one? The
Nordstrom's, no.
No, not Nordstrom's, but the Pit.
They weren't looking at like I don't think the Pit was on there. Nordstrom's, I think, where the Nordstrom's building was, because that one kept coming up as. But again, the people that were looking at buying that, most of them looked at that also, and because of parking, you know, where are you going to drive up? You can't.
Well,
there's
so
really
that,
no place
park
to park there.
No.
You have to cross the street.
Yeah, you have to cross the street.
Because the Skybridge doesn't take you, it takes you to Kohl's.
Oh, yeah.
It doesn't take you
yeah,
to
no,
the
Nordstrom's
grocery
would
store.
Be a good place for it.
So that was like, but if you go down Burnside at the, what's it called? On Burnside in Portland, if you go like towards the zoo, what's, it starts with a W, it's a type of brew. A developer redid that and put a two-story Safeway in, and it's completely urban, you know, I mean.
Yes, it is.
It's not like you don't have.
I'm talking about the Safeway near the art museum, near Portland Art Museum.
No, that's going south. This one, Burnside, is on the north.
Oh, yeah, Burnside.
It's before the.
I haven't seen that.
Yeah, you can't miss it if you're like in downtown Portland and you go west on Burnside, if you're going out to Vincent Hospital.
Yes, yes, yes.
It's right there on the, I cannot believe, I can't think of, because it's named after the a brewery. It's really cool. It was like the project that won all these awards because it was doing this two-story kind of grocery store thing in a very urban
area.
And Burnside isn't always been that great, kind of been the location for the homeless. And then, you know, they turned around and did the Pearl.
Yeah.
I still can't believe that they were able to take that awful area and make it
so
the Pearl. But they did it now, who knows? I'm not going to go back there right anytime soon just because I heard it's just awful.
Yeah.
There's like 400 buildings or businesses boarded up and, yeah.
With the protests.
Yeah.
There's a sale of office, yeah.
Too much.
Talked to a broker and said he did the civil unrest. It's just killed.
Too much disappointment for me. So I also.
We'll get back to it later.
One of the things that, you know, from a lender's perspective, you always have to think about flood insurance too. Is it in a flood zone or not? Because that could increase your operating costs because insurance.
And this property would be, wouldn't it?
Yeah, it says it's.
It would have to be like 100.
You guys did the appraisal.
Is it like the 100 or?
I bet it's in like maybe the
500 year flood zone.
No, flood zone. According to FEMA, the subject site lies in Zone X.
No, that's outside.
An area of minimal flooding.
Minimal flooding, okay.
Well, it's just, that's like what anything would be like, majority would be, yeah, or anything away from water would just be Zone X.
Okay, well that's good.
And it's interesting because up north within riverfront, there is this area that is so low, it floods every year and it is in the flood. Which is interesting. So I want to organize. So my goal is to take kind of a list of things for the board to say, yes, mm-hmm. that would be something, mm-hmm. kind of so we can prioritize or start formulating what might be in the scope, which is why.
Okay.
I can put everything that we've been talking about in there, even if we think it would go one way or another,
yeah.
just to get them to think about it talk about it. The more I put on there about everything that we've been talking about, just like, you know, just like the question, would the total project cost, if it's a higher project cost, is that something that we would want,
services.
Yeah, that we would want to consider, if that meant you had to give
more away.
Concessions or more financial incentives, is that still something over lesser $1 million project, but asking mm-hmm. for less? I mean, I can try to make sense of everything and see if we can kind of get a sense of what
so
they're thinking
on
is
what
more
it
important.
Is and how it would be used. I mean, that's what, you know, we're trying to guess what kind of big projects they would be. If it's primarily residential, would those fill? If it's, you know, a huge project or would some of them sit empty for a long time? And then what kind of businesses would draw presence there? Because what we're trying to do is increase the viability and vitality of downtown. And so, because we are small, sometimes it's like when you're saying, oh, $20,000 or $20 million project sounds like it would work, you know, versus, and part of it is like, well, could a $50 million project be viable?
Is that going to be overbuilt?
Yeah, that's sort of what you start thinking, but.
My friend was what, like?
I had, how much was the mall when it went up, and it was viable for a long time?
Well, I think for the sake of the conversation, because I said 20 and 50 million.
Yeah, you were just throwing out.
I was throwing numbers out. I think, you know, I have to put the disclaimer out there. They would have to be feasible.
Yes.
So
back again, like you said.
If they were feasible, because then, again, if we have.
I'd be willing to throw more.
Five projects in front of us, and every single one of them has an amazing team.
Yeah.
And every single one of them showed us their sources and uses. Would it matter what the total is? If it's $50 million, and the benefits of $50 million, the number of jobs, blah, blah, blah,
mm-hmm.
over, but to do that, they are asking
for more. Uh-oh.
Well, sorry.
Well, I suppose if it seemed viable, I would probably want a bigger project. More growth, more potential.
But it would still come down to, like, would you interview these people and, like,
yes.
kind of hear their explanation
they,
of it and make any
yeah.
judgment of that? Or are you looking strictly at the numbers?
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't have any experience.
And then it comes down to being subjective, you know.
I know.
The people interviewing are making some assumptions based on, you know, what they feel is going to be better there personally, and maybe
mm-hmm.
I'd be wrong.
Yeah, exactly.
I have to give some faith to the developer, believing that if they've got a history, they know it's going to work.
And they know what they're doing.
So it's just like, oh, I don't know.
Yeah, I know. All of a sudden.
And, you know, I looked at the shipping crates that are down in Austin that she was talking about.
Or Vegas and stuff,
Vegas,
yeah.
Vegas, yeah. And what it looked like was just like an outdoor park where a lot of activities are, and I'm going, okay, well, right now, that's not going to happen.
No, with this whole
COVID. And do we even know yet what normal will be? Yes, eventually we'll get back to really more socialization as we had before, but it's going to be a while.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure if I were a developer, I'd be willing to project, but I'd have to be pretty sure.
2 years, you know, yeah. 5 years, probably until we get
and
back
then home. Really, what will people be comfortable doing?
Yeah. There's going to be a lot of people who will never want to go out on a cruise
ship. I've never wanted to be on a cruise ship. I still will never want to be on a cruise
yeah,
ship.
Yeah, now you definitely aren't going to. Yeah,
people used to say, why don't you cruise? And I said, because of all the cootie bugs. I do not want to be on a ship with all of those germs.
Yeah.
And they'd look at me like, what are you talking about? And I think, do you not realize you are so confined? And now I think they may have realized what I was talking about.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, it looked really cool, but it also looked cool for good weather. And I thought, wow, would they cover this? Would there be a way that it could be somehow protected so that there were outdoor activities for families to go to, which it was showing, but could they go all year long, or would it be limited for a certain time of year? And so then I was going, okay, I like the concept of the activities because we can use that, but is that the right site for it? So those, I was coming back to that myself. Nobody seems interested in the mall to try to make some of the sites in the mall an activity center. You know, like I'd love to see potentially doing a golf venue, you know, where you go and where you just go and
like Top Golf.
Yes, like Top
yeah.
Golf.
Yeah, I don't know if it has enough space for that. Would be my only thing.
Look at the big size of the building. Would somebody like take everything and then have a section where they're hitting the balls and then part of it down below?
Or even I thought about like a golf. But having golf simulators, like with a
mm-hmm.
bar setting or something where,
exactly.
you know, someone.
Right now, again, it's not good to go bars.
Yeah, exactly.
But to me, the mall would be a good site for some of those because it could be all year long.
That's
indoors.
Yeah, that's
and
a good idea.
Whereas this, I think the cargo things may not be the best thing. That's kind of what I was thinking. Door monitor.
Yeah, but did you hear what the topic was?
No, I
no.
We were busy talking.
5 minutes.
Yes, yes, I think I got enough to.
Go into our next meeting, which one is that gonna be?
Well, it will be our DAC meeting on the 27th. So what you'll see from me is all, I will queue up a list for the discussion. My preference is for subcommittees that you guys kind of talk. Open up and kind of say how we've been approaching this.
Sure.
And I don't have a problem, because this probably won't be an action item because we'll be working on this for a while.
Okay.
So it's just gonna be an ongoing discussion.
Okay.
As we develop this, but we want their input early on as to what they want to see as a priority and how we develop this, what they think is of more value over something else.
Okay, that's.
Because not everything can be the same, because part of what this is at some point is an evaluation, and all things equal, something's gotta float to.
The top.
To the top, but we were not there yet, obviously, because we're just developing what might be the criteria.
So could we, these other items that you were asking about, should there be consideration to expand for redevelopment by purchasing one or more of the adjacent buildings? Have you had any more thoughts on that question, or is this something that we're gonna just ask the others about, or?
All of these things, I think we're just gonna throw to them.
Okay.
I think what we've done is we've started, because of how we've been discussing it, everything that we've talked about, what do you guys think? And they may have others that we haven't thought about that they want to put on there. So yes, all of these kind of things.
Okay, perfect.
We're just gonna throw it at them, and we may have already kind of thought what we would think about
it. Right, right, right.
But we'll see what they think about it, and then it will just reinforce, or we'll.
Or our thoughts.
We have 11 people, and none of them saw it the way we did. That's great.
Yeah.
No, I think a lot of times it's like, I hadn't even thought about that. So.
I know that old desk dealer space that's been available for lease now for a while. It's right on the corner. Because they downsized and went to a much smaller space. I don't know if you know that, like it's off Bush Street. And they have a much smaller space. And yeah, that's just such a underutilized corner right there, you know, and that may be a really good idea to try and acquire that
That's exactly what I was
another
saying.
Corner.
Either that or figure out if we should partition it, as you were saying earlier, and maybe that should be added to or partitioned to divide up the site.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I think that the question is, you know, what do people think about somebody who has, a grocery store, I'll just use that example, they want to own their own site, but they want just this piece of the property.
Yeah.
And then we would have, it's like, you have a pie, and somebody takes two pieces out of it. Can I get as much money for the rest of the pie as I could have gotten if I left somebody with the whole pie? I don't know.
Yeah.
Possibly, depending on what it is. So, Kristen and I meet with Emerson tomorrow. He's the one who owns the building on the corner of Chemeketa in front, one that used to have office products in it. And
that's what I'm talking about.
Yeah, I know. Okay. That's what I'm telling you. And the dentist. So we meet with him tomorrow. You know, Kristen and I met with him in 2016. The board, we identified a bunch of properties for opportunities for redevelopment. This whole thing before, obviously, UGM did what they did. We thought that would be great. And so we met with Emerson's, we met with Saffron's, we met with Dave Chasman from ABC Music and UGM. Emerson's at that time, you know, the building was full.
Yeah.
And so that, you know, that wasn't really something they're interested in. Now I can tell you, as soon as they found out that we were purchasing Saffron and UGM, we went by ours. So it'll be an interesting conversation. I am sure this is how I feel it's going to go, just because time is everything.
Mm-hmm.
It's vacant. But you guys are close to our budget. do I have money to buy Emerson's building right now?
We can't even pay for some of the things we wanted to.
No, so I mean, no. I mean, these things, you plan for these things to the best of your ability. But for him, you know, if he invests money in it and gets a tenant in it, then it's different.
Yeah.
If somebody, however, I would think, and you would know, it would be worth more if it was generating rental income versus if it was vacant.
Yeah.
So it's, you know, but we want to have we want to check in with him because it's one of the ones on the list that I gave you last month is kind of vacant. And our goal over the summer is to be meeting with those property owners. We met with the broker for Penny's building. We meet with Emerson tomorrow. I'm very excited. We have a phone call with the owner of Liberty Plaza because we want to get a sense of what they're thinking, if there's any role we would play. Because again, we have so many big vacant ones.
Penny's would be a great site for a potential grocery store. The parking nearby and the street parking.
And, yeah, the thing with Penny's is that it has the lease isn't up.
Yeah.
And so there's all the challenges of if somebody wanted to buy it, but there's still the lease.
I'm sure they signed a long-term lease.
Yeah. And then
renewal option.
It's 100,000 square feet, so it's huge.
It's huge, yeah.
It has, you know, zero-ish windows. But what I didn't realize is that C's is its own little building. It's really complicated. Plus, the ownership structure is really complicated.
Is it
trust?
Yeah.
People. Yeah, very complicated. So it's going to be interesting to see if somebody wants to come in and assume the rest of the lease.
Either that, or see if they would do a restructuring of the lease.
The same, and if Penny's are there bidders for Penny's. You know, it's not like Penny's isn't known, and you know, so that one's going to be complicated.
We have so many right now. They're probably sound like they're all.
But the good news is that I did hear from the Nordstrom's building people. They were showing the building to somebody,
and
they asked a bunch of questions, and I answered them like as fast as I could. So you know, excited that they were showing the building.
Yes,
that's just where I'm at. I'm so excited.
And when you say the north, is that the entire mall building or just the section?
Never get that level of details. This has been a week of a million weird
questions and answers.
Well, people are just like, you know, what about Zagster? I don't see Zagster bikes anymore. And, you know,
really?
This is, you know, me on the Nordstrom's building. Can you tell me, you know, how many units? Can you tell me if we have anything going on? Can you tell me this? Okay. You know, and then somebody else says, oh, hey, I'm having a meeting with PGE. Okay. Oh, hey, I'm meeting with Statesman Journal. Is there anything going on that I should find? It's been a week of so many questions that stop me from what
you're trying to get them.
But not all weeks are like this. But then I'm like, hey, okay, this is what's going on. This is what I know is happening. So excited. Keep me in the loop. But they don't say, oh.
Yeah.
We're walking around with, No, they just say, we showed the building, they had some questions. I'm like, okay.
Give you more info and I'll
Well, I haven't heard from them from ever, so, yeah.
Well, the last time they probably showed it is when there were a ton of homeless people in downtown.
Well,
I'm sure that deterred.
The room on the street was, at first I thought the room on the street was they had, some kind of entertainment venue thing that they were thinking about there. And then the second thing I heard was like 24-hour fitness.
Huh.
And that building actually would be laid out pretty well for that.
Yeah.
For 24-hour fitness. So who knows?
Yeah.
And I thought it was an entertainment, but maybe somebody thinks 24-hour fitness is entertainment, not me. It's work. But yeah, something like that where, you know, you could pop some windows in to make more light and
give people a view when they're working out.
Exactly, be pretty cool. And if you look at the increase housing units. And most people would rather walk, and the Y is gonna be offline. Not bad, actually, not a bad idea. So maybe, that would be great.
It would be, it would be.
That would be great, I think it would do, I think it would do well, actually, with all the housing that we have going on.
Yeah, that would be.
And it's close to the state employees, and everybody's into wellness and fitness now, so we'll see.
Yeah, with the new apartments that are just slightly north of there, and then mine, and then all the others around.
Well, in South Block, yeah.
South Block.
And then just, you got the rivers, you have residents too.
Yeah.
Who, you know, there's, where they can't really walk.
But you could ride a bike, but.
You could ride a bike.
Yeah.
Depends on, yeah, you could ride a bike. So how's that sound for next?
Sounds great.
I'll put something together for you guys.
Yeah.
And then again, I'll just, you know, I'll attempt to kind of queue it up, but then.
Well, we certainly can talk, whether or not we talk from knowledge or a benefit.
Some of them are just so dependent on each other too, like, are they gonna want the financial incentives?
Yeah.
Or are they gonna want a tax break, or is it a combo of both?
Do you care?
Or yeah, it should be mandate taxes.
See, that's how I'm trying to structure it, you know? Should we care, don't we care? Because, you know, what are the things that, at the end of the day, you don't want to influence who rises to the top or not?
That's really and when I was asking the question about taxes, you really answered it very well. And so you may have to pop in again with similar answers about how when you're looking at a project.
Or start looking at year 11
instead of
thinking,
just
losing $3 million.
Short-sighted view of it, look at that it will be there.
Oh, yeah. That kind of changed my perspective on it.
It did. And so I thought that was very helpful.
Oh, okay. Well, you know, and I would think that they would go up too. So what you lose today.
Yeah.
It's not going to be the same in year 11 as to what you start getting.
Right.
Yeah.
I wouldn't think.
You got to incentivize these people.
Yeah.
To,
and is it worth, 10 years, let's say it's $300,000, is it worth $3 million for you to have gotten, $20 million of private capital? Because we're talking sources and uses, not operating incentive. All the jobs that we got during that,
yeah.
The option that you wouldn't have had before, something that energizes. Was it worth the $3 million for you, plus whatever you let them have the site for, and a grant?
And then thinking about it as a community in the sense of that.
All of that.
All, because then it supports everything that, the other businesses that are currently here.
Well, and the other thing is that, would anybody do it without any of that? Probably not.
No.
Yeah.
Not right now, because our rents aren't there. So,
that is right. Rents are not there.
Rents are not there.
All right, I got to run.
Okay, yes, thank you, Tyson.
Yes,
and
thank you.
I will, I'll get this organized somehow. And again, Linda, back to your, what we talked about, I think you don't have anything to say, you just want the discussion.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it's going to be discussion.
Just save it
open-ended. There's been no conclusions other than we want to start building this list and identify which ones rise.
Ooh.
Uh-huh.
You probably have to go do something.
Oh, I came from an inspection,
okay.
So
I was
going to
say, you
got to
go
mess
it up.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Absolutely.
See you on the 27th.
Sounds good.